Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Dangerous embrace when Joe Biden bear-hugged Benjamin Netanyahu. He embraced the Zionist agenda and all its deadly consequences. No matter how the American administration wants to parse its role in Israel's war on Gaza, the United States is ultimately accountable for Israel's military campaign. Crosstalking Palestine, I'm joined by my guest. In New York, we have Lionel. He is a legal and media analyst. And in Lake Jackson, we cross to Daniel McAdams. He's the executive director of the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. All right, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Okay, Daniel, let me go to you first in Lake Jackson. No matter how the administration wants to parse its words, when you have Anthony Blinken coming out, Jake Sullivan, John Kirby, They want to create this, you know, there's a little bit of distance, but of course we're fully on the side of Israel. It's not working. Nobody believes this here. This is Biden's war.
Absolutely. It's been a cock up from the first. These people are so far out of their league, it's not even funny. For all his faults, and there are plenty of them, if he had someone like Henry Kissinger, you know, with the shuttle diplomacy, you might have actually had something happen. But from the very beginning, as you point out in your introduction, Peter, Biden raced over, and he had a big plan. He was going to give a big bear hug to Bibi Netanyahu, and then he was going to have a summit, if you remember, in Jordan. So he was going to kind of even it out. Hey, we're on Israel's side. They have a green light, but we're still maintaining ties. Well, that thing was completely flubbed up by the Israeli bombing of the hospital, and the Arab side, as your viewers know, canceled the summit. So basically, you have Biden with the proverbials in his hand, having nothing to show for it except the meeting with Netanyahu in the green light. So this whole thing was born in disarray and disaster, and it's only continued down that road. And with it, you watch Biden's numbers go down the toilet.
Well, also, basically the same question to you, Lionel, because, you know, the administration is trying to create this kind of impression that they have influence and they have sway, but Israel just continues to ignore the administration while on a daily basis munitions are being sent there. Human rights organizations all around the world are red flags left, right and center. My goodness, Lionel, we could watch this slaughter on live television and the administration still feigns that, you know, it's trying to do its best. Well, that's not good enough. That's not good enough for anyone. Lionel.
Well, when the administration claims to be doing its best, that must be an asterisk next to it. I want you gentlemen to think about this. Think about October the 7th, November the 7th, and December the 7th. The narrative, and I don't want to say Israel versus Palestine, but we'll just for shorthand purposes. On October the 7th, there was complete and total solidarity. Everybody said, this was horrible. This was terrible. You were attacked. Everybody, just like 9-11, just like we were. 9-11, everybody said, you've got to do something. Measured, respectful, but it was 100%. Nobody ever said, well, you know, you had it coming. November the 7th, the argument was the same. It was Hamas. And the rest of the world said, now, wait a minute, hold it. That may be true. That was last month. But how has your approach changed? How has your address changed? December the 7th, same thing. It's as though it's frozen in time. And when you hear whether it's Bobby Kennedy, whether it's anybody from the usual suspects, they have the same October the 7th narrative as though nothing has changed. And it simply says this, Hamas attacked. We're going to destroy Hamas. We're not going to let this happen again. And it stops. And there's no counter. There's no, okay, fine. Nobody is saying you cannot respond to this. How do you explain the number, this inordinate amount? When will you stop? Remember Colin Powell had that, the Pottery Barn rule? If you break it, if you own it, you know, what's the end game? Tell me the strategy. Everybody in war has to say, this is when we have success, when this happens, when they surrender.
Yeah, but
nothing.
But Lionel, the strategy is to destroy Hamas. I understand that. But what we've been looking at from October 7th to the present is the destruction of Gaza.
Right.
I don't see much destruction of Hamas. Let me throw it to Daniel. Daniel, what I see, and I obviously watch this very closely, it's very painful to watch, but I just see a war on schools, on hospitals, on mosques, on churches, on medical staff, and on children. That's what I see. What is the strategy? Is that the strategy, is to destroy everything I just mentioned?
Well, Lionel was saying, what's the end game? I was just looking yesterday at an ad from a real estate company advertising beachfront property coming in Gaza.
I saw that.
That looks like that may be the strategy. But, you know, it's a great point that Lionel makes about the narrative. But what's interesting is that, you know, two things. First of all, it does remind us of Ukraine, doesn't it? Russia attacked Ukraine, full stop. We don't want to talk about 2014. We don't want to talk about years of bombing in the Donbass. No, it happened. The world was born yesterday, and that's exactly what's happening. But what we do see, if you do dig a little bit, and people like our friend Max Blumenthal at the Gray Zone have done great work, but now it's coming out more into the open using Israeli sources.
Israeli sources. Yes, keep going.
Israeli sources, Ynet, and not, you know, not just Haaretz, but that the October 7th narrative was mostly false. And we just found out yesterday, I'm sure you saw the video, a video emerged of October 7th with a tank shooting at a house in the kibbutz. The fact of the matter is that Israel killed a large number. I won't say all, I won't say it didn't happen, but Israel killed a large number. The Israeli army killed a large number of Israeli citizens, including at the music festival and including at the kibbutzes on October 7th, and that is a fact. And it reminds us of the neocons in the U.S. After 9/11, never let a crisis go to waste. And that's what I think we're seeing here. And until we can challenge that core narrative effectively, they're going to keep going because they're having a great war, as you say, Peter, against women and children. They're doing a hell of a job. But when it actually comes to fighting Hamas fighters, I've seen a lot of stuff, and it's not going that well. They've created so many firing points in Gaza that I was just watching a video yesterday, an Israeli soldier was complaining, it feels like we're fighting ghosts in here.
Yeah, and it's only going to get worse here. Lionel, let me ask you the simplest of simple questions that probably has no answer considering the behavior of our elites. What is the American interest? What is the American strategic interest in all of this? Because its reputation is being trashed around the world. Lionel.
Tradition, allies, history, a lot. You know, I've got to say this again. People who are absolutely, I don't want to keep bringing up Bobby Kennedy. I don't know why he's the exemplar, but I have to give this as an example.
He's the biggest disappointment, but we'll leave that aside. Go ahead.
This is a man who has never met an American program I think he liked, ever, in any way, who now meets basically either an Israeli or an anti-Palestinian program that he's never loved. It's unconditional. And here is the thing. I swear to you, there is a narrative that when I hear this, it drives me crazy. But let me just explain something. You can't do this forever. We have elections coming up. And when the rubber hits the road, when the Democrats realize that there are contingents of new voters, and I hate to make this into the political because we should be worrying about the humanitarian aspect of it, but if the political aspect is the only way to get people's attention, when Americans find out exactly what's going on, and when they look at the numbers, because we have one of the most incredible abilities to remain nescient and clueless and in a coma. We are the best. We don't even have maps. We don't care. We worry about, you know, Taylor Swift. We're out to lunch. But when it breaks through that blood-brain barrier, and when it becomes posh or when it becomes popular to care about humanity, that's it. It's over with. How are you going to explain it? And again, let me ask you, gentlemen, this. Is it going to be one day when there is no more Gaza? Not Gazans. But there is no more Gaza.
Well,
do we say, all right,
let me throw that to Daniel, because that's a great point, because that is the point of Israel's strategy. It has no strategy except for eliminating a place called Gaza and the people that live there. That's obvious to me.
I mean, it's the worst ethnic cleansing we've seen in decades, maybe since World War II. You know, and it's you're right. It is to destroy Gaza itself. The Gazans, well, they're welcome to move. They can move to Jordan. They can go move to Egypt, but they have to be eliminated. And if you look at the territory that's left after the bombing, 90% of these 2.some million people have been displaced. They're not in their home. They can't stay in their home. 100 journalists have been killed. They don't want any coverage of this. The idea is to destroy all of the infrastructure. And then the real estate companies will move in, I suppose, and start building those beachfront homes. It's a sick plan, but it's going unchallenged, virtually unchallenged. There are only a few outlets. Ironically, if you look around, only occasionally CNN will say something worthwhile. They had the reporting from near the Egyptian border, which was very jarring. But with very few exceptions, the U.S. media certainly won't touch it.
Well, Lionel, again, why? Is it because people are intimidated or they're just uninformed or just both? Lionel.
It's a combination. You must know, and Peter, I have been doing this for most of my adult life. There were things that we knew in the media that you just never, ever, ever, ever touched. You just never were vocal. You mentioned Max Blumenthal or others, people who were vocally anti-Israel. I've got to say something. I'm a lawyer. I'm sorry. Semantics, definitions. I'm not anti-Israel.
Well, that's it. You're picking up on the problem, Lionel, because people have been told Israel and Zionism are the same thing. And for people like Max Blumenthal, they're antithetical. They're antithetical to me. Okay, last 30 seconds before we go to the break, Lionel, go.
But I'm not even saying it's Zionism. I'm saying a military action. Listen, I have absolutely no problem in going after a group of people who did this particular act of terrorism.
I agree.
But the way you do is by going after them. The sources, the money, the individuals, go to those countries, those individuals who have some kind of pull or sway, but not pick Des Moines, Iowa, because two of them live there. And level the whole country, because secretly you kind of want that area anyway, and we're going to use this as a pretext.
Okay, Lionel, I'm going to jump in here. We're going to go to a short break, and after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on Palestine. Stay with RT. Okay, let's go back to Daniel in Lake Jackson. Daniel, you know, in looking at a lot of the coverage, and I try to look at a little bit of everything for sure to get a sense of the narrative here, but there's one thing, and Lionel touched upon it, there's certain things you just don't talk about. There are those third rails you stay away from. But in the mainstream, you almost never, I don't think once so far since October 7th, has been mentioned that that Gaza and the West Bank are illegal under illegal occupation. You never hear about the occupation because some fanatics suddenly woke up on October 7th and attacked Israel. That's the narrative, but that's not contextualized, as we all very well know. But so one of the reasons why they have to continue with the narrative they have, Israel has the right to defend itself, is because they will not contextualize it and where this conflict came from. It didn't come out of the blue. Just like Putin invaded. He woke up one morning, he was in a bad mood, and he invaded Ukraine, which, of course, is nonsense here. We're seeing the same thing. You can't say the word occupation. Daniel.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. But something interesting is happening, Peter, which is that it's not sticking like it used to.
No, right.
You've seen, and it's a generational shift. I mean, you are seeing young people. If you look at the polls, young people are not holding these views that the boomers held about places like Israel, about our, inescapable romance with Israel, whatever you want to call it. They're not buying it. And that's why we had this big freak out about these college presidents. They were, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. They were hauled before Congress. What would you say if someone called for genocide in Israel or what have you? It was insane. It was all made up, and it was a desperate attempt to try to get this back on the reservation. But you've seen protests worldwide of millions of people.
Yep.
From Indonesia to Paris to Washington, D.C. The narrative is not sticking anymore. And I think a lot of credit is due to the emergence of relatively free speech in places like former Twitter, now X, where there is a debate, where people like Max Blumenthal can get some traction and debate some of these things in real time. 40 babies beheaded? No, that actually didn't happen. Mass rape? Nope, actually that didn't happen. Baby in the oven? Didn't happen. And so you're seeing this in real time, and younger people are just not accessing the legacy media for their news. They're looking elsewhere. So despite the desperate attempt to censor this, it's getting out, and it's a different world, I think.
You know, it's really interesting, Lionel. I mean, the university presidents, that was this, McCarthy would be, old Joe McCarthy would be so proud of that kind of behavior, because it was really, really quite odious. And these university professors are supposed to be smart people. I would have just said, well, who's calling for genocide? What? Who? Give me evidence. They didn't even have the guts to say that. You know, where's the empirical evidence, okay? But, Lionel, my question to you is that what a lot of cowardly people on the right, conservatives, say, this is a product of wokeism. And it's not at all. Daniel is absolutely right. When I was at university, there were Palestinian groups, mostly headed by American Jews, by the way, and it was a very important issue when I was at university, and it's just become, because of the internet and things like that, people are beginning to learn the history, okay? Well, it was Alison Weir. She wrote a book, If Americans Only Knew. Well, they're learning, okay, a lot. Lionel.
I keep thinking about what Klaus Schwab said about the Great Reset. You know, gentlemen, there are people historically that I have not particularly cared for. I never take politics personally, but there are people on the platforms because, by the way, heritage and the traditional statist ossified media, it's over, it's done, it's finished, it's through. But on the regular platforms, people that I always thought were kind of lunatic lefties, I'm finding it's like, wait a minute, this guy makes, I'm agreeing with him. I've told you this before, and I'm going to say it again. Friends of mine here in New York, prototypical, classic, neotypical, whatever that means, Jewish liberal progressives have to go to Fox News to find any kind of consilience regarding their support of Israel. It's nuts. It's crazy. And what's also is that we cannot handle, I hate to keep doing this, but Scott Fitzgerald said that a great mind can handle two seemingly inconsistent thoughts. You know, this Claudine Gay of Harvard, yes, she was wrong by basically booting students out because they didn't, you know, use the right pronouns. Okay, that's one issue. But if I stand, we have Supreme Court cases, Brandenburg against Ohio, that says I can say that Alsatian should be, you know, eliminated from the earth. As long as I don't incite people, it's a thought, irrespective. I can hate terrorists. I can hate bin Laden. You can say whatever you want about Russia. Nobody's going to kick you off of the campus about that. And this selective, punctilious, stupid observation of selective speech. In the meantime, when all of this is hopefully resolved, we will have lost yet more of our free speech fabric.
Yeah, but what's even more painful, let me go to Daniel on this here, is that, you know, prior to all of this, you know, a lot of conservatives smugly said, you know, we're for free speech. We're for free speech, okay? And then you have, I don't even, we could spend 25 minutes, 30 minutes just naming the names of people that are saying, except for, in this case, we see it all the, you know, Ben Shapiro, I perfectly get it with him. This is his thing. He's been doing it a long time. But Jordan Peterson? Wow. Okay. Douglas Murray? Wow. Okay. We can go on. And Lionel, you want to jump in real quick? Go ahead.
No, I'm saying Norman Finkelstein was DOA in terms of the media. He was a... People say, you know, whatever happened to...
Well, I can tell you, Lionel, a lot of people learned about Norman Finkelstein from being a guest on this program many moons ago, okay? But good to see Norman back in business, okay? But he even gave up. He gave up. He gave up in 2020. Okay. Amazingly, I saw him in an interview. We had to reread one of his own books to do interviews. Okay. Daniel, let's talk about this free speech issue and the hypocrisy on the right.
It's absolutely astonishing. I mean, it's but you know, I say there's a lot of swings and misses from Hasbara in this whole episode. But this was a swing and a hit because Americans are fed up with wokeism. The American right, that is their thing. And somehow they found a way, and you mentioned it earlier, Peter, they found a way to tie this Israel thing with the anti-wokeism on the right. And it right. was a brilliant right. move because it is sticking. It's sticking very well. People like Peterson, I don't understand it. Maybe no one ever has enough money. You know, it seems to me he's got probably a pretty good bank account. But it's not just people like him. There are people, like you say, with like Shapiro, that have some personal vested interest in the game. But, you know, I can't tell you how many Jewish friends that I've had that we were very close on Ukraine. We were very close on the lies told about COVID. And as soon as this happened, it wasn't even, okay, I have some affections on this, but these are right-wingers who said, you're out. I don't want to hear anything about it. And you've seen it with one after one of the right. of the so-called right-wing outlets, you know, in the U.S.
You know, it's so tragic, Lionel, because you know we've been guesting on this program for many, many years. So, how many friends did we lose during Russiagate? How many friends did we lose during COVID? How many friends did we lose during lockdown? How many friends did we lose over Ukraine? And now you lose a friend because you call out a genocide. What kind of world are we living in, Lionel?
Not only that, I'm not going to mention names, but if I mention one name to you, your jaw will drop. I basically was told I'm through with you because there's a red line regarding Israel. And I said, what the hell does that mean? What have I said? One more thing to show you the lunacy of this, and that may have given you a hint. John Fetterman, the senator of Pennsylvania, is now he is literally, and people use that word literally incorrectly, but he is literally wrapping himself in the Israeli flag, which is fine. But he is now saying that blaming TikTok for young people having these demented pro-Palestinian ideas when the same man congratulated and thanked TikTok for this resurgence of young people. So now it's TikTok, which means they want to go after TikTok because, of course, it's China. Meanwhile, Twitter and the old, or Facebook, that's okay. Gee, I wonder who owns that. And I say one more thing. God bless Elon Musk. He may not be perfect. He may not be perfect, but God bless him, because if it wasn't for X, I keep saying Twitter, it's like I say album, but if it wasn't for Elon Musk, where would we go?
Well, absolutely, but we'll see what's going to be happening with X, or I call it X Twitter, so everyone knows what I'm talking about in Europe. That's the first one. Daniel, we're rapidly running out of time. One of the narratives have been spinning. This is Al Qaeda. This is ISIS. You know, this is how they're trying to couch the whole thing. One of the things I would like to ask all of the defenders of Israel that say, how many 9/11s did Israel experience on October 7th? And my retort is, how many 9/11s has the Palestinians experienced since that time? Daniel.
For decades and decades, but no one wants to talk about it. You know, the issue of people, you know, dumping on us for being critical of Israel, go back and look at what all of us, all three of us, wrote about Ukraine and how Ukraine was behaving. You know, our very, very strong language with the bombing of civilians in Donbass. We are basically guilty of treating Israel like every other country on earth. And I'm sorry, that's how I work as a foreign affairs analyst. You know, everyone is treated equally, including the U.S. and Israel and Ukraine and what have you. So that's exactly what is happening. But, you know, Gaza has been discussed as an open-air prison for decades. You know, even Ron Paul said it on television and was attacked for it, you know, 15 years ago. It's long been known. But somehow you're not allowed to talk about it. Well, we're talking about it now, and things are changing.
Lionel, I'll give you the last 35 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, you know, right now, the key to this is going to be shows like this, gentlemen like you, and also, again, this reset, this reaffirmation of the truth. And the good news is that it will be streaming. It will be citizen, civilian, and alternative media. You're going to see, you know, Mediaite just came out recently with a list of the top 75 people in, quote, news media. You know, Joe Rogan came in number 24. Look, that's over with. You're going to see a new wake-up call for the world. Not here locally, but the world. So get ready. And this might have done more to act as a catalyst and then kind of like an enzymatic push to change things for the better. And free speech will prevail.
Exactly. Thank you, gentlemen. And as we approach the holiday of Christmas, I implore everyone to give a prayer specifically for the children of Gaza. That's all the time we have. I want to thank my guests in New York and in Lake Jackson. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules.